God for that wonderful ministration. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's a wonderful one from the choir. Where you are this morning, I want you to bow down your head and pray. I say, God, just minister your word to me like never before. Bring me to the realization of your truth. Bring me to the light of your glory. I trust you, Holy Ghost, that you are able to turn my life around. I trust that you are able to change my life forever. Sweet Holy Spirit, thank you. As your word comes to me today, I will not remain the same. You will give me testimony. In Jesus' name we are praying. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we are praying.
Amen.
Welcome somebody beside you to church this morning. Welcome somebody beside you. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, we'll continue in our teaching on grace is the cure for sin. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Grace is the cure for sin. And we began to see in our previous teaching that the word grace was personified. That grace is a person, and the person is Jesus Christ. Praise God. The grace of the Lord has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness. The grace of God has appeared to all men. And so, we began to see in our previous teaching that grace is not an audacity to sin without apology. Today you hear all kind of excuses people give for messing up, for continuing in their sin. And when you ask them, they say, the grace of God has covered me. Grace is not the reason we sin. Grace is the reason you should not sin. Grace is an empowerment. Grace does not make you loose to become an instrument or a slave of sin. Grace empowers you to say no. Today you can resist sin, not because you have the power, but because of the grace of God upon your life. And that's why Apostle Paul began to speak, 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am. Listen to me, that you used to fornicate and you stop fornicating, it wasn't your effort. Yes. Go and ask those who used to drink. By the grace of God, we have a testimony of one of our fathers in this church. He's not around this morning. Who is a drunkard? And the grace of God, he said to a point that when he sees people drinking, he gets irritated. This is somebody that cannot withstand the sight of a cold black bottle. Now, meanwhile, there are people who have tried by their own effort to stop a particular sin, but they see themselves in it again. Even though they cry, they are still in it. Some will even curse themselves. If I do this thing again, let this thing happen to me. They put themselves in a corner, thinking by those words, they can have themselves saved. But if you are committing a particular sin before, and today you are not doing it again, it is what? The grace of God. Tell your neighbor, say, it is not by power, it's not by might, it is the grace. Yeah. And that's why don't condemn anybody. You know, believers, we are fond of condemning people. The same thing you have gone through before, another person is going through that trial, and you said, he can't hold himself, he's too loose. You have forgotten that whatever it is that is going on in your life today, it is the gift of God and it is the grace of God. And so when somebody is going through a tough time as a Christian gets pregnancy out of wedlock, don't condemn. Have you forgotten all the ones you have done that didn't lead to pregnancy? Don't condemn anybody. Today, people get pleased. the way they feel justified is for them to use their own life to judge others. Psalm 130. If the Lord will mark iniquity, we shall stand before the Lord. Who has the cup? If not for the grace that we are who we are. Ephesians chapter 2 and from verse 8. Yea, we are saved by grace through faith. You were saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He said, it is, give me Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. He said, it is the gift of God. Tell your neighbor, say, it is a gift. You didn't do anything. When something is a gift, there was none of your effort, or there is none of your effort that makes it come to you. It is a gift. It is a gift. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself, until we remove this self-mentality, self-righteousness. Romans chapter 10 and from verse 1, just leave this place, I'll quote it. He said, I have a zeal, I have compassion, I have burden for Israel. He said, for they establishing their own righteousness. Do you remember the parable of Jesus about a tax collector and a Pharisee? The tax collector said, I'm a sinner. I know you can save me. I know you can. The Bible says, in the same synagogue, a Pharisee came and said, God, you know I used to fast 3 times a week. I am not like that tax collector that is praying there. Hallelujah. And so, you should understand, number one, grace is not an audacity. It's not a confidence to sin. And you say, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I say, you know, somebody said something. He said, even God said, I look at the whole earth. There's no one that is righteous. You know, at times when you don't understand the Bible, you confuse the whole scripture altogether. The Bible says you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, David in his psalm said there was none that was righteous. He was right. Until Christ came and made us righteous, there was none that was righteous. In fact, the Bible says when Jesus appeared in the book of John chapter 1, there was nobody. In Matthew chapter 3, it was only him that God announced, and everybody in Jordan heard it. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I, only him was called the child of God. So David was right when he said, he was prophesying when he said, and the Lord looked at the whole earth, there was none righteous. Righteous in their own level, they were righteous. But the Bible says, Isaiah gave the same prophecy. He said, put all your righteousness together, bring it before God. It's like a filthy, it's smelly. A filthy rag. When you say something filthy, it's smelly. Dirty rag. And so, God was preparing them for a kind of righteousness that comes only by faith. Hallelujah. And if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are you righteous? You are. Righteousness first is by what you obtain, not what you attain. You in Christ, we don't attain. If you will have to attain righteousness, there's no need for the cross. If by yourself you have capacity to attain righteousness, there's no need for remission of blood or for the shedding of blood. Praise God. So the Lord opened our eyes and we began to see in different scriptures. We saw in 1 Corinthians 15, I think verse 56, he said, the strength of sin is the law. We talked about a dispensation. There's a dispensation called the dispensation of the law. Romans chapter 5, you began to see. He said, until Moses, sin was not imputed on men. Because they all became sinners, not because God gave them a law to obey or to disobey. Because Adam sinned, therefore death reigned upon all of them innocently. That's one of my favorite scriptures these days. Because of one man, death reigned on all.
God did not hold them accountable because they sinned or not, because there was no law. God didn't give them any law. Until Moses, there was no any law. Because Adam sinned, death reigned on all. So when Moses came, law came. God gave them law. So they were judged according to the law. So the law became the strength. The law became the consciousness. It gave an upsurge, a rise for the capacity to sin. The strength of sin is the law. And so when the strength of sin became the law, the law has a cooler rule. If you check the book of James, he said in the law, if you break one, you break. Talk to me. If you break one, you break. That's the principle. And that was why there was nobody that could attain righteousness. Because somehow, if you are not lying, you are stealing. If you are not stealing, you are either doing one thing or the other. So there was nobody that could be found righteous, even in the law. And so when Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished," he was the only one. The Bible said he was not found guilty. The law could not find anything in him. He fulfilled the demand of the law. There was nobody. Even Moses could not. As Moses tried, men pushed him. It was one of the reasons he didn't see the promised land. Anger. But there was one person. The Bible says he was smitten. But like a sheep in the hands of the slaughter, he kept mute, didn't say anything. Not one abusive word came out of his mouth. Even when they spat on him, they gave him sour wine. Not one. All that came out of his mouth is, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what." Even when an armed robber who was caught robbing, who was nailed by Jesus Christ, said, "You can't even help yourself. How do we think you can help us?" He cursed Jesus. Jesus didn't say anything. Like a sheep, like a lamb, he was kept mute. He kept his mouth shut. I was saying something yesterday in Bible study. I said, we must learn to bear the reproach of Jesus. You can't move around in this city in 24 hours and somebody will not insult you if you are driving in the traffic. They will make you angry, either to want to insult or somebody insult you. Learn to keep your mouth just as Jesus kept his mouth. Let's bear the same reproach. Let's bear the same shame with him. I'm praying to God to help me with traffic in Ibadan. Somehow somebody will get you, will get you annoyed. But even when they curse you, for Jesus' sake, keep quiet. I know you know what to say, but may the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Yeah, we are growing in maturity. We are growing in grace. I'm going to be showing you some few things today. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to help me. You know, the Holy Spirit keeps expounding this message to me. I'll think, okay, this week we'll round it up. Next week you'll tell me, "I'm not done with them. I'm not done." I believe this message is for somebody. Yeah, God is preparing you unto maturity. He's bringing you to a spiritual understanding through this message. And so when he's not done with you, he's not done with me as far as this message is concerned. And I'm being blessed, that's the truth. As I study, and I study, I know more. He teaches me this. Tell them this. Tell them this. Praise the Lord. Give me Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 2. All of that is just a recap of what we have been. Give me from verse 1. Ephesians 3. Okay, just leave it. Leave it. Don't worry. If you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. Everybody say dispensation of grace. Say louder. Say dispensation of grace. What is dispensation? Dispensation is a period. A period of time where there is a reign or a dominion of a particular subject or a particular thing. There is the dispensation of law from Moses down until Christ died. there was dispensation of the law. Men lived under that dispensation. Their life was controlled by that dispensation. They could not do anything outside that dispensation. Paul was now speaking. He said, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace, tell your neighbor, say, we are in the dispensation of grace. Good news. Can I tell you this? This is the best dispensation there is. You will wish you never come during the period of law. If you had come, or you were giving birth to when they were giving sacrifices for sin, how many goats will you have bought? How many ram for your sins? I just thank God that I came in this dispensation. And listen to me, after this dispensation, tribulation. I used to tell people, as soon as rapture sounds, grace, this dispensation will close. As soon as there's the sound of trumpet, there will be close. This dispensation came up as soon as Jesus resurrected. As soon as Jesus come and collect his people, is collecting grace alongside. People will survive by their own blood. Under the dispensation of the law, how were they surviving? The blood of animals. Abi? They will make sacrifice annually so that they will not be judged of sin. A priest will make sacrifice on their behalf. He will take the blood into the altar and burn the body of the animal outside the camp, the way Jesus was crucified outside the camp. Under the dispensation of grace, how are men being saved? By what blood? There can never be remission of sin without blood. After the dispensation of grace, how will men be saved? Can you see how, listen to me, can you see what a grace that we enjoy? If you were born during the dispensation of law, number one, you are not even qualified if you are not a Jew. So that completely counts you out. If you are not a Jew, you are not qualified. Because all of that has to do with the Jewish worship, the Jewish religion. They were the one doing all. So if you are not a Jew, you are already a cast out. So let's now say, okay, let's assume you are a Jew. Go and see the predicament of Paul when he was recounting his experience as somebody under the law. You know, he was in both dispensations. Yeah. They were in both dispensations. He knew when he lived a life under the law and he lived a life under grace. And so go and count his predicament. We have gone through that before. If you were not here, if you're not under that teaching, go and get our message. When we saw his experience in the book of Romans chapter 7 from verse 15, he said, woe unto me. The good things I want to do, I can't do them. He began to recount all of the pains he goes through as somebody under the law. Even with that, could not attain righteousness. Basically, the law was given to them to expose their sin, not to bring them to righteousness. Because the law does not give them capacity to become righteous. But glory to God. Come on, glory to God.
Oh, Femi, yeah, yeah.
Sing it like a choir.
Oh, Femi.
Hey! The Bible says, if he will not withhold his only begotten son, and if he will give him as a sacrifice for you, what is it that he can't give you? A baby. If he will not take his son, he gave him up as a sacrifice, what will you compare with the son, with Jesus, with the material? Tell me one thing. He didn't give you a car. If he will give you his son, do you know God didn't have an alternative? Let's assume Jesus decides to say, I'm not doing it again. In Gethsemane, when he said, oh, I wish that this cup was taken away. Let's imagine he said, let the cup be taken. There was no alternative. That was why God, using Abraham as a type, to make us understand the pain of allowing his only begotten son to have the sin of the whole world on him. He said, let Ishmael go away. God did not tell him what will happen first. He said, I want only Isaac in the house. One day God now came in the morning. He said, take that only Isaac. He mentioned it, your only Isaac. After he wanted us to understand what it means to give up the only thing you have. So the life of Adam was a drama, typifying what God was going to do. And that was why it was recorded for Abraham, as righteousness, because he made himself available for God to showcase him as a drama of what God was going to do unto us with his son. He said, now take your only son. Thank God, Sarah was not consulted. That is where you will know what Yoruba people call Abiyama. She would tear everybody down. She understood every revelation, but that one she won't understand. Now, the Holy Spirit just told me, he said, that is why God did not need to consult anybody to make you righteous. He doesn't need anybody's appeal. He chose you. Yeah, I a chosen generation. He chose you before the foundation of the earth. Nobody can stop him. Holy Spirit, thank you. He just dropped a scripture in my spirit. Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something. This has disarmed. I've told you in one of my teachings. I said, what the grace of God did to you. Not only to you. He did to sin. He did to the devil. He did to death. Number one, the grace of God disarmed the devil. If you don't know, you should know today. And empowered you. Romans chapter 8. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I love you. Romans 8, and from verse 28, give it to me. Romans 8, 28. The Holy Spirit is sweet. Ore afesha mi bekelem sihande mishuhanda kaliyade hasada. Hey! Daddy, Oku Amasaraya Sebiaraja Ila. This is the reason you should sing, not because there's money in your account. This grace. Listen. And we know, say we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. The grace of God is a calling. We were called into the grace. We were called. God knew I was not going to come before the law. He knew my mother was going to have me during this grace dispensation. And now, you know, this came to me again. David was right when he said, in iniquity, my mother conceived me. Yeah, it was under a dispensation where no one was righteous. So he was right. He called us. Ask, what is the purpose? Give me verse 29. Give me verse 29. For whom he did foreknew. Do you know the meaning of foreknew? He knew you before you knew yourself. He foreknew you before your mother conceived you in her womb. You were known. He knows my name before my mother named me. He knew the year I will be born. He knew the hospital. He knew I was going to be a Nigerian. He foreknew me. There's nobody on earth that God does not have a detailed account. That's why the Bible is speaking. He said, even the hairs of your head has number. No, not that they are numbered like 1, 2, 3. No. There's a code number on each. God knows the number. Each head. If you go to the barber shop and they scrape them like this, God knows which of the numbers fell. Is that accountable and detailed over your life? It also predestination means to destine before. Destination. Pre means before. Destiny means your path in life. Pre meaning he ordained your destiny even before you knew the destiny. And that's why I am double sure. I cannot fail because my life was predestinated. My life is like a program, a design program you put in CPU, in a system. The program already has been designed. It has been designed by the developer. And so it is what the developer puts in it that the system will release. So you are a program. A program. And that's why God is not perturbed when you are going to challenges. You are a program. Because in the program, the end was success. And so when you are going through turbulence, some of you think God is not perturbed when you are going to challenges. I say, God, look at what I'm going through now. God is never perturbed. When Jesus was being taken to the cross, God was not shaken. When Adam was made to commit sin, God was not shocked. Because he predestinated the end even before the beginning. So when he saw, you know, some of us have asked this question, why did God not stop the serpent from going into the garden? Why? He knew the end. He was not shocked. If he is shocked, it means he is not God. He is God because he knows all things. And so as the serpent went in, God has a plan already, a master plan that even the devil did not know. I didn't be the devil, no. He wouldn't have allowed them to crucify Jesus. The devil did not even know that he was playing a script. He was part of the script. When he was telling them, crucify him. He was speaking through the mouth of the Pharisee. Crucify him. He didn't know he was playing a script in the salvation of mankind. The greatest disappointment of the devil is Christ on the cross. If he had known, he would do anything to stop them. But the script writer gave him a script to play. He didn't know. Listen to me. I don't know who is troubling your life today. They are playing a script. God, didn't you see them? He saw them. It's a script he has given. Let them play their part. Because the end of it, therefore, or thereof, is your salvation. It's your victory. Shout hallelujah. Are you learning something this morning? He predestinated to be conformed. Listen, the purpose of God from his session is that we will become like the Son, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Why? Why the image of his Son? Colossians chapter 1. Jesus is the express image of God. So for you to become like God, you will be conformed to the image. And that's that. God wanted a family. And so he raised up his Son, that through him many sons will be risen. He became the first among the dead, the first fruit of the living. That will be conformed to the image. The image is not face, it's not hand. It's talking about spiritual status. The same authority. Where he's seated, you are seated. The authority he carries. And that's why the Bible says, he said, I am not ashamed to call you brethren. Romans chapter 8. He says, for we are joint heirs with Christ. We are joint heirs. We share the same inheritance. Not house. Spiritual inheritance. Authority. Glory. Grace. Look at it. That ye might by the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? In a family where you have a firstborn, every one of you in that house, you are all brothers. Though he is the firstborn, there is no secondborn. No. We are all brethren. He is the firstborn. You see, this is why we should go and preach to unbelievers. You can see what unbelievers are missing. This is why we should be so passionate about preaching the gospel. He said that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Brethren, shout hallelujah. The firstborn. Now, that's not where we're going. Give me verse 30. Give me verse 30. Very important. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Meaning, it is not by chance that you have been called into the grace. Before you came, it is in the plan of God that you are going to be part of the brethren. You didn't gate crash into Christianity. No. And as many people who are out there in the brothel doing prostitution, there are some of them who have been predestinated. One day they will be called. And that's why you are a partner in this job with God. How? Evangelism. How will they be saved if there be not a preacher? How will they be saved if no one tells them? That's why God brought us into partnership. To fulfill His own plan. He said you have become partakers. Be a parlor. They are there. Some of them are predestined. There will be surprises in heaven. I'm telling you, get to heaven and see some people and be like, some of them, only that they will not be jealous in heaven. Like, God, I know this guy in Iworu garage. I know him. He's not supposed to be here. I know him. Akbiruni. He's not supposed to be here. I know him. The same love he has for you is the same love he has for that man smoking under the bridge. The same love. The love he has for you is not bigger or higher. The same love. For God so loved the church. Eh? For God so loved the world. That's why don't ever condemn or underestimate any soul. The devil did not create one. Not one. The devil did not create one person. He only uses people. All of us are God's creatures. All. Arm robbers, kidnappers, they are all God's creatures. Everybody. The Bible says, He is not willing that anyone should be destroyed, but wants everyone to be saved. Praise God. Them He also called, whom He called, them He also justified. He was buried for my sins. Say it after me. He was buried for my sins. And He rose for my justification. Buried for my sin. Rose for my justification. The reason they buried Him and killed Him is for the sin. The reason He rose is that you should be justified. If Jesus did not rise, our faith is in vain. That's why Paul speaking, he said, we'll be among all men most miserable. If all our faith in Christ is only on the things of this earth, if Christ did not rise, we are among men. Christianity will be the most shameful thing, the greatest sin of reproach. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Whom He justified, then He also glorified. He brought us into glory. Let's go. You see a big shocker here. Let's go, verse 31. Hey. Everybody read this, want to go. What shall we then say these things? If God, who can say no? Who can condemn us? Who can be, if God be, if all these things about us are true, if this is true that we have been justified, if this is true that by predestination we were called, who then? No one can condemn you. And that's why Romans chapter 8 from verse 1 says, there's therefore no condemnation for they who are in Christ. No condemnation. Ishe all of me and Rabani Lodemo of Firesha Itara Mikola. Habiran has come to the Allah. Titi Salaso. Sweet Holy Spirit, thank you for what you have done for us. Ah,
Kwata. Ahira ye.
Ah!
Baby, inside you. Jackie O. Jackie O.
Masindi Katela.
Mio. To Shalati. To Shalati.
Hold it. She was what you already she was of worship already. You are only singing that song as a remembrance of what you have. He has done it. A believer can say, she was already, he has healed you and taken away your sins.
Mobo Ninu Ebi Ebi Haye Mobo.
I'm free. Free from guilt.
Eleshemoku ni nure mobo.
I'm free from guilt. Free. What shall we then say these things? Say to these things. If God be for us, who can be against us? Bring your Bible for me. If God, you know, at times we use these scriptures to say, if God be for us, no enemy. Listen, this is your enemy. This is talking about your eternal life. Talking about the value of eternal salvation in your life. Praise God. Are you learning something this morning? Give it to me. We have talked about the dispensation of grace. Give me 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1. Holy Spirit, thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet thou son.
Now listen, I wanted to read that Romans chapter 8 verse 33 in the Living Bible. It says, who dares accuse us of whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He is the one who has forgiven us and given us right standing with him. Say right standing. That's righteousness. He is the one. Who cannot? Even the devil cannot accuse you. Like, anytime you are praying, the devil say you are a sinner. Show him this scripture. You are not a sinner. Who can accuse us? Even God again can't accuse you again. Even God himself cannot accuse you again. And that's why when you are remembering God of your sin before you got born again, he can't remember. Praise God. But there was 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 2. 2 Peter, give me from verse 4. Chapter 1 from verse 4. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Say exceeding great and precious. That's what grace promises us. Exceeding great. When something is exceeding great, it is incomparable, impeccable. You can't compare it with anything. That by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Say, I escaped. Come on, say louder. Say, I escaped. If not by grace, me, preacher. It was because I escaped. Me, preacher. If somebody had told me a vision that I was going to preach, I would say he's a liar. Anywhere tough things are happening, you will see me there. If you go to the secondary school where I graduated, you will see my name written. I was like that. Go. If they have not painted, you see my name. Yes. If not, Paul said,
I am not even qualified because I persecuted the church. I am not even supposed to be called an apostle. I am what I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you read from verse 9. By the grace of God, I am not even fit because I persecuted. So if it's by qualification, if it had been by merit, we will not all be here. And that's why you have no right to condemn anybody. Because you were not even here by right. That by this, ye might be partakers of divine nature. I tell somebody, I'm happy I'm not a professor. I'm not a politician. I am happy I'm a partaker of God's kingdom, of divine nature. Stop putting the pursuance of career above this work of salvation. You can be a professor and go to hell. You can be a doctor and go to hell. There will be so many doctors in hell. See, at times, the way we pursue our career, you think career is the way to heaven. We are so career driven. You do all kind of things to have certificate. What is certificate? A lady, you are giving yourself because to a lecturer. Because of what? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it heaven? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through laws. Give me verse 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Tell your neighbor, say, add to your faith. Virtue. Virtue means character. You see, today people abuse grace because they lack character. You don't only come to salvation and say it is over. Check your character. The proof that you are saved should be reflected in your behaviors. You see how manner of kind of Christianity today without character. That word virtue there means character. Go back. Go back again. Character. To your faith. Now, what did your faith brought to you? Brought grace unto you, right? For you were saved by grace through faith. He now said, to that faith, now there is the grace of God in your life. You need character. Say character. Today, there's all kind of preaching of grace, neglecting the place of good character. He said, to your faith, and what's happening? Okay, give me verse 5 now. Give me the King James Version. Please, if I didn't ask you to change version, don't change it. If I need it, I'll let you know. And by this, giving all diligence, because of all these promises, the promise of the grace of God, the great and exceeding promise, what you have enjoyed in the Lord, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, say knowledge. That's why you are adding knowledge now. What you are doing now is adding knowledge. First, when the grace of God comes to your life, let it reflect in your character. It's an abuse. It's a shame to the kingdom of God for people to ask you and say, and you say you are a Christian. People are using Bible for corruption in office. You a Christian. Your name is Bro. Bro, which Christian? Bro, Christian. Brother Christian is your name. In the place of work, you are stealing with Bible. When I was still working in the banking industry, when you come to the office, you write time. When you come, you write it. And I used to be a late comer. I'll be very sincere with you. For those days, I used to be very late. So there's this my boss. As soon as he see me come, he said, don't write. He knows I'm going to write exact. If I come 9, I'll write 9. I would rather prefer man give me a query than the Holy Spirit giving me a query. Because you will be restless. And that's why I said something. If you are a born again child of God, anytime you do anything wrong, the Holy Ghost will query you. You will be restless and say, Holy Spirit, I'm sorry. Even when you don't know, how many of you have had this restlessness? You don't even know you have done something wrong. Until you now say, what have I done wrong? You know, when you were talking to that brother, you lied. Now, you now see that peace will now restore. When David was saying, restore unto me, he was talking about the Holy Ghost queried him.
I will prefer a man to query me than the Holy Ghost. And so as soon as I write time, the man said, didn't I tell you? I say, oh God, that look at the time. That is the time I came in. He will keep quiet. So as soon as he see me coming, most of us, my boss and myself, we come very late. See, Felix, don't write on him. Don't write. Wait, let me write. Let your life become that gospel that people see. To your faith, hard character. And to character, add knowledge. Character cannot be sustained with ignorance. No matter how moral you are, if you are not adding to knowledge. I was sharing yesterday. I said, I've met wonderful people. Wonderful people, prophets and pastors, where I grew up. If they were under this kind of teaching, if they were under a sound teaching of the Word of God, they would have been better people. They had the grace, they had the faith, they had the character, but there was no knowledge. So after some times, they were being robbed, even though they tried to maintain a level of morality, but they couldn't go far. And that's why at a point, marrying two wives wasn't a problem for them again. Though they had character at a point, but because there was no knowledge to enhance the character. Taking Gouda and Stout after every harvest program, a harvest program of a church. After harvest, we now close church and enter into one place. Pounded yam and Gouda, we go like this. Prophets and pastors. Knowledge was not added. If knowledge was added, it will irritate them. If not for knowledge, by now I should have two wives. Yes. The reason you see a young minister will rise. Grace of God, anointing of God, faith, grace upon him, has good character. After some time, he will start malign. Knowledge base. Some of the people that we grew up the same time, some of them are married like three to three wives now. Because naturally, gifts attract opposite sex. But when you keep adding knowledge, the only ground the devil has against a believer is ignorance. Because on the side of sin already has been taken away. So it does not have the ground of sin against you again. The only ground he has is he take advantage of where you don't know. And he gets you there. And so if somebody will marry another wife as a prophet and quote David. And say, even Solomon, when he went to marry another, the children of the unbeliever, God said, if you needed another wife, you should have asked me. So I need another wife. So God gave me knowledge. If knowledge had come, you would have known that there are things written to you and things written for you. That letter, that story of David is not written to you. It is written for you to learn from their mistakes. Epistles, go and see in epistles. There's nowhere in epistles where the Bible says you should marry second wife. I think this message is for one married man here. The Holy Spirit is just telling me that you are playing away match. The Lord is warning you. You are playing away match. The Lord is warning you now. The Lord is warning. See, at times when message comes like this, they are prophetic. I don't know why the Holy Spirit is making million emphasis on this, but it's for somebody. One girl is doing like this to you. Tell her you have a wife at home. How many of you were here when I was teaching on the dangers of adultery? He said, drink only from your own well. Drink only from your own well. Let her breast satisfy you. It might not look satisfactory. Let it. Before you married her, she was okay. Now, it doesn't look. Let it satisfy. Even though it is not. Let it. That message is for another day. Let it satisfy you. Praise God. Give it to your faith. Add character. Character knowledge. Verse 6. Knowledge is key. Now, before you go there, let's go to Stop at knowledge. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and from verse 1. 1 Peter 1 1. We are going back there. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Let's go. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can we all read that last part? Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Let's go. Wait, I'm coming. I want to read. There's a place I need to read to you. Very important. The reason I stop in knowledge, I want to lay a quick emphasis on that side of knowledge. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Okay, 2 Peter 2, chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Give it to me. He mentioned grace and peace here, but there's a way he puts it there. Now, can we all read this all together? Grace and peace. It means you can increase in the grace of God to the proportion of revelation knowledge. And that's why the emphasis of Apostle Paul for all the churches he wrote to the Ephesians church, he wrote in Ephesians 1 and verse 15 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when I heard of your love in Christ and of your faith in Christ and of your love, your faith, he heard of their faith. Faith has been added. And of your love among brethren, virtue, love among brethren, virtue. He said, I cease not to make mention of you in prayer, giving thanks, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Say, in the knowledge of him. The same thing he said in the book of Colossians chapter 1 from verse 9. He said, I pray for you that you will increase in the knowledge of God and having spiritual understanding. Philippians chapter 1 verse 4, the same prayer. Knowledge. Put value on knowledge. I used to tell people, I am not where I am because I'm gifted spiritually. No. Knowledge has changed. Knowledge is one of the things that has advanced me in my life and ministry. And knowledge has to do not only with church, it has to do with every decision you make in your life. It was knowledge. I decided I was not going to sleep with any woman. It was knowledge until I met my wife. Even though God warned me, even though God told me that I shouldn't do it, but knowledge helped me to keep to it, because I kept discovering that all that has been written about God teaches good character. Even though when I had the opportunity, when even if I do it, nobody will know. The reason you won't do some things, even when nobody is there, is because you are aware. You are conscious. Knowledge. You know, there are things you do because nobody is there, or you don't do because somebody is seeing you. But either somebody knows or not, knowledge keeps you intact. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's not just about, it's mainly epignosis. Clear knowledge of Jesus Christ. Intimate knowledge. Praise God. Go to verse 5. Go to verse 6. Now go to verse 6. Verse 6. And to knowledge add temperance. Temperance is character. And to temperance, patience. In your Christian, in your journey as a Christian, one thing that is key is patience. God is not a magician. You will have your baby, patience. You will be rich, patience. Don't be desperate about anything. You can't be a good Christian if patience is lacking in your life. And let's start learning patience from being in the traffic. I told my wife lately, I said, traffic is teaching me to be patient. I'm a driver that is not to pay. I don't any opportunity, I whiz out. But this day, as soon as I am patient, it's one of the virtues. Patience. A Christian in Nigeria must hold this. Because Nigeria, one thing that is lacking in us, patience. We just want to get rich. You want to start business today, make it today. I must make it, amen. The process. Even Jesus Christ came through process. He didn't just appear and come as a full human being. He went into the womb of a woman, was born, he was nurtured as a child until he was 30. Process. Why did God not just build the whole earth and put it? Process. First created, let there be light. Everything had process. Patience. And to patience, godliness. Now, I used to tell people, grace is not the practice of ungodliness. The grace of God has appeared to Titus 1 and from verse 11 has appeared to us, or teaching us to deny ungodliness. Praise the Lord. Now there are a few things. My time is up. I don't know, every time I don't finish my message. I really wish I could today, but we'll continue next week. I really want to keep to time. Holy Spirit, help me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. We'll close here. Hebrews chapter 13 and from verse 9. Be not carried about. Hey, if you will take this home and sink it into your spirit, it will help you. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Hello. This scripture is for this present generation. The writer of Hebrew, I'm sure, saw this generation. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. Doctrines means teachings. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. I like that all of us read this portion of the Bible. One, two, go.